Alyssa, I understand that this year's college gymnastics season has been unprecedented in many ways. Is there a particular moment that demonstrates to you just how unique it's been?
So on February 4th at a UCLA-Utah meet,
remember that silver medal winning team for USA in Tokyo?
Grace McCallum, one of our four Olympians at the Tokyo Olympics, who is competing for Utah, takes to the bars, and very quickly, you can feel something exciting is happening.
Nearly flawless technique and form, and a perfectly stuck landing. That's a great
She sticks her dismount, and we learn that she earns her first perfect 10 of her collegiate career.
Grace McCallum got a perfect 10 to start off this competition.
And as her score is being shown to the crowd, her Olympic teammate, Jordan Chiles, who competes for UCLA, is stepping onto the floor. She walks out with sass and attitude. Her music is to Lizzo and Doja Cat and Normani. And her opening pass is this just sky-high, gorgeous double layout.
And it's a big tumbling, Sam. Double layout to open this routine.
Her body is extended. She does two full rotations in a laid out or extended straight leg position.
Front through to an easy double back.
The entire routine is flawless. She sticks every pass.
I think she's going to fit right into NCAA gymnastics.
I was thinking the same thing. You know, not every
Very quickly we learn Jordan also earns the first perfect 10 of her career.
Oh!
And it's a 10. Our second 10 of the night.
Her routine goes viral. The artists who are featured in her routine are tweeting at her, and Simone Biles is tweeting at her. And then the next day at two separate meets, our Olympic all-around champion, Suni Lee, who's competing for Auburn, earns her first perfect 10 on bars.
So smooth on all of her transitions. Holds her handstands. That was amazing. Truly incredible.
And Jade Carey, who is our Olympic floor champion for the U.S. team. She's competing for Oregon State. She earns a 10 also on bars.
Jade Carey with a perfect 10, the 10th across the nation this year.
These are four Olympic athletes, some of the most famous gymnasts, some of the most famous athletes in the world.
Yes.
All competing over a 24-hour period, scoring their first collegiate perfect 10s. And the attention that brought to college gymnastics really overnight was like nothing I'd ever seen. If it feels new, it's because it is.
When the NCAA began allowing athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness, I think a lot of us expected really radical change, like the sort of change that would feel obvious from just watching college basketball or college football games in this new era on TV. But that hasn't happened. Not exactly. Unless the sport you're watching is women's gymnastics. So today, with the NCAA championships underway, Alyssa Ronick explains why the NIL revolution is uniquely revolutionizing women's gymnastics, and how after decades of disturbing scandals, college might be exactly where this sport needs to go. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, April 14th. This is ESPN Daily.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Alyssa Ronick, the Women's Gymnastics Championships start today. And when I look at the list of competitors, as you alluded to, yeah, I see names that I know. I see names that casuals would know, like Suni Lee, the reigning Olympic gold medalist in the women's all-around that you alluded to. And I want to explain and understand better why. Like, why are they here? Why are they doing this? What's going on?
So the first thing I want to say is, you know, it's not entirely unprecedented to have former Olympians compete in college gymnastics. I mean, if you're a fan of the sport, you'll remember names like Madison Koshin and Reagan Smith, Kyla Ross, even Olympians from other countries. And back in the 80s and 90s, this was a more popular shift. But we have never seen a flood or a level like this freshman class. And like you said, never have we seen an Olympic all-around champion compete in college until Suni Lee. And other than Simone Biles, our entire U.S. team, four members, Suni, Jade, Grace, and Jordan are all competing in college, as are our alternates, again, unprecedented. So the reason for that is in the past, the best gymnasts in the world had to make one of the toughest decisions of their lives, you know, at 13, 14, 15 years old, and decide whether or not they were going to turn pro, sign deals, and earn money that for some of them was helping them to pay to continue competing, to pay for that training, and in some cases really set them up for life. Or stay the amateur route and maintain collegiate eligibility. And as you know, because of the NIL changes, you know, a mixture of new state laws, NCAA rules that went into effect last summer and allow athletes to cash in on their name, image, and likeness, they don't have to make that decision anymore. I mean, a lot of these athletes did, in fact, go through that grueling process. But when those rule changes came into effect, they were able to make another decision and go into college and all of those things that they desired, being on a real team, having the opportunity to compete on a 10-point scale, competing for the college they'd grew up a fan of. They were able to do both things. And, you know, if you look at elite gymnastics, if you look at our 2020 team, the athletes are older. They are collegiate age now. So the crossover between elite and college combined with the NIL rules makes all of this possible. So we are just in an incredibly new era of women's collegiate gymnastics.
Okay, so Suni Lee, who is now at Auburn, is taking advantage of name, image, and likeness changes, which allow her to profit off of her image and the business of that, the capitalism of that, Alyssa. I want to get into with you in a second here, but I actually want to sort of dive further into how all of this talent has impacted what we're seeing on the floor in competition at the moment. Like, how would you describe the state of things around the sport itself right now?
Exciting. I mean, the talent in collegiate gymnastics right now is incredible. But the other thing that you know, the example I gave you at the beginning of February 4 shows is so is the parity. Because it wasn't like all of these athletes flooded to one school. They are competing across the country. And as are other elite gymnasts, and of course, the level of gymnastics in college was already incredibly high. So there are 10 to 15 teams who, you know, that combination has just led to some of the most exciting, close, and surprising meets. And, you know, we had teams that we thought we would see for sure at NCAAs this weekend who aren't here, who didn't make it out of the first day of regionals. It's just a really, really fun time for a gymnastics fan. And even those gymnastics fans who only used to tune in every 4 years at the Olympics, they're starting to be pulled over into NCAA gymnastics because they're seeing gymnasts, not just from the U.S., but from around the world, who they became fans of through the Olympics competing every weekend.
And so what's it like at Auburn then, Alyssa, as you understand it, where Suni Lee is on campus? And I imagine, by the way, a pretty recognizable figure at school.
A very recognizable figure at school. Auburn is having a moment, you know, they refer to it as the Suni Lee effect. The gymnastics program at Auburn is incredible, but, you know, they've never sold out gymnastics meets days, weeks before the meet. They're doing that now. They're selling standing room only tickets for the first time for gymnastics meets. And yeah, I mean, Suni is arguably the most famous athlete at a school that is known for basketball and football.
Right.
There is so much hype and excitement. I mean, Suni Lee walks around campus like the star quarterback. She really does. And she's wearing her fame so well and with so much humility and has really endeared herself to her teammates. But it's she's having a bit of a tough time. I mean, think about being a freshman. Usually it takes a few years for the star quarterback to become the star quarterback, right? She walked onto campus as an 18-year-old freshman with that fame. She tells the story of meeting Charles Barkley. She goes to a basketball game on campus and she sees Charles Barkley, who you could also argue is maybe the most famous Auburn alumnus.
Absolutely.
And walks up to him and introduces herself. And he says, "Girl, I know who you are." And her mind was blown. Why does Charles Barkley know my name? And that really is the level of fame she is dealing with right now, while also trying to find her way through being a college freshman like everyone else at school.
Yeah, I'm curious also, Alyssa, just like how does, I know Suni Lee is from Minnesota. We've had you on the pod to profile her before, but how does a girl from Minnesota end up now trying to figure out where the dining hall is at Auburn in the state of Alabama?
So her coach for many, many years in Minnesota while she was an elite gymnast, his twin brother, the Grabas, his twin brother is the coach at Auburn. Mm. And so she knew for a long time that was the school that she wanted to attend, but didn't know if that would be possible. Certainly when the NIL rules changed, that was her singular focus. I mean, the Olympics ended, she did a media tour, she went on Dancing with the Stars, and then she was straight to her freshman year. It's been an incredible thing to watch her navigate, but she's also been really open and really honest about her struggles with it, that there was a period of time where she didn't want to do gymnastics.
The hardest part was probably like trying to find what happens next, because my whole life I've just trained gymnastics and I've spent my whole life in the gym. So now it's like, what's next? Because I didn't know what to do. I wasn't going in the gym. Like, I didn't know what to do with my life.
She felt imposter syndrome for winning that all around that everyone expected Simone Biles to win.
I've had so much criticism and a lot of people tell me that I didn't deserve to win and that it was Simone's thing. So I think this time I kind of just want to go and prove to myself that I can do it.
And it took becoming part of a team and being surrounded by support and doing something she'd never done before. She'd never really truly been a teammate or had true teammates. She told one of our colleagues recently, you know, I needed to be part of a team to find my love for the sport again and to keep getting better.
Just like getting to like jump and cheer while I'm competing and cheering for my other teammates, like I just feel so relaxed and it's like relieving. I feel like I can breathe when I'm competing. But when I'm in elite gymnastics, it's like I'm so uptight and stressed and scared and nervous. It was just like a very toxic environment. I feel like I am starting to love the sport again. I'm enjoying it, and I look forward to coming to practice every single day.
It wasn't just about trying to go to school and blend in. It was that she wants to continue getting better. She wants to continue possibly on to the next Olympics. And I think there's a good chance that she wouldn't have, right? That you leave the Olympic experience. It's tough. It's heavy. And you just want to get away from it. And the collegiate experience has sort of brought her back this love to want to go in and grind in the gym every day. Gymnastics is a hard sport. It's a dangerous sport. It's a painful sport. You're also trying to juggle being a collegiate athlete, a student, which is incredibly time consuming, both of those things, and figuring out, finding your freshman feet. And also being a professional athlete, which is also incredibly time consuming. You have, especially in a sport like gymnastics, where you have sponsor obligations, you have meetings, you're designing leotards with a new brand, you're doing appearances. The time management that you're having to learn as an athlete who came from a sport where everything was managed for you. You got up, you went to the gym, and every second of your day was planned for you. They're really having to grow up fast. It's really unprecedented, and it's an experiment. I feel like we're sort of watching them in this petri dish, and we'll see,
yeah,
you know, what grows out of this experiment. Some of it is great, and some of it I think is going to challenge them in a way they've never been challenged.
Yeah, I was stuck freshman year of college trying to remember, like, is it beer before liquor? What is it, never been sick? Or is it liquor before beer? Which one is the one that I should be doing first? Like, that's what my thought was. That's what my worries were about. And these young women are, like, running their own businesses.
Yeah, they're deciding Adidas or Nike, right? No, you're thinking beer, liquor. They're deciding which shoe sponsor am I going with?
Yeah, just yeah, do I mean, it it's, of it's, a different kind. Yeah,
it's incredibly lucrative. You know, I mean, if you look at just their value on social media. Not just Suni Lee, you have every one of those Olympic athletes we mentioned earlier have at least 250,000 Instagram followers. And then every time they do something incredible, you have athletes like Simone Biles with 7 million Instagram followers amplifying everything they do. And sponsors and companies know what that is worth. They're also juggling which seven-figure deal to sign before they leave for math class. I mean, it is a different world than we've seen in the past. But you're right. It is an incredibly huge business and it is incredibly lucrative for these women.
All right, Alyssa, after the break, I want to ask you how a gymnast who did not compete in the Tokyo Olympics is actually trying to crash this very lucrative party at this weekend's championships that you just described.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So listen, we've been talking a lot about the names that I remember, at least, the Suni Lees of the world, the Olympians that I watched in Tokyo. But one of the biggest stars here that you've been reporting on is actually not an Olympian, not yet, at least. So who is she? What is her deal?
Well, if you've been a fan of collegiate gymnastics and even elite gymnastics in the past 5 years, you will know the name Trinity Thomas from the University of Florida.
1.5 twist. Oh! There it is. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, look at that. There it is, Kathy. It's a perfect 10 for Trinity Thomas.
And full disclosure, it's my alma mater. I am an incredibly big Gators gymnastics fan, so I'm a little biased here. But even if you are not a fan of the Florida Gators, you are probably a Trinity Thomas fan. She is a senior. She was also an elite gymnast. She was a 4-time member of the national team. She was on a gold medal Pan Am team. And in 2019, Trinity committed to Florida. And in that season, she became the only athlete competing in both elite and NCAA gymnastics. So she was doing everything we're talking about, minus being an Olympian and the fame, but she was juggling these two very different styles of gymnastics. And she had several ankle injuries last year. She announced shortly before the team was selected for Tokyo her retirement from elite.
A chapter of my story has come to an end. It was my plan to take the first step towards qualifying for the Olympic trials this week. However, plans changed. In early March, I suffered ankle injuries that limited me during the remainder of the collegiate season. As I competed my last floor routine at the NCAA National Championships, I realized there was not enough time for me to heal and compete at the elite level.
And she has been a standout in collegiate gymnastics, but this season especially, you know, we've talked about perfect 10s and, you know, we've seen 61. I mean, it's double the amount of perfect 10s we've seen in the past, any year, in at least the past 5 years that I went back and looked at. And she scored 10 of them. She's had 10 perfect 10s.
And she does that routine. I don't know where the judges are going to get any major deductions from that, because that looked effortless. It was clean.
And it's a 10-0.
She's the first Gator in 50 years to score a 10 on every apparatus in one season, the only Gator to win SEC Gymnast of the Year twice. And, you know, she has her COVID year remaining, so there's an opportunity for her to return for a super senior year next year. But I'm looking at her as a senior, and every routine I see from Trinity might be my last opportunity to watch her compete. And, you know, this week she is a strong favorite to not only lead the Gators to a national title, but also a really strong favorite in the individual all around, on bars, on vault. She is just a joy to watch compete.
Your Gator chomping aside here, Alyssa, I do want to be fair to the system of the perfect 10 that you've just described here, because just to recap, like, yeah, this is not a thing in the Olympics anymore. The Olympics does not give people 10s, but in college, it clearly is having a moment that we have very rarely seen.
Right. So in the lead up to the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, elite gymnastics abandoned the 10. And so their scoring system is set up differently. It is divided into a difficulty and an execution score. Your execution score is still out of 10, but that difficulty score, the D score, is open-ended. And so elite gymnastics really, really encourages and rewards difficulty. That's why you can see a Simone Biles take two steps out on floor and still win, because what she is doing is so much more difficult than everyone else. Or, you know, a mistake on bars, a mistake on beam, and an athlete still medal or even win an event. In collegiate gymnastics, we are still at that 10 point. So it is really about perfection. It is about crafting routines that do not draw deductions and sticking every landing and doing everything with perfection. So it is a different style. You have to remember, a lot of these Olympians, they are young enough that they've never really experienced at a big meet the opportunity to even score a 10. To have that,
right,
you know, 10 held up by the judges and have the crowd and their teammates, you know, surround them and tackle them and celebrate a perfect 10. So this is exciting for them as well.
So there's going to be one championship awarded to the best overall team, and then there are these championships awarded to the individual gymnasts, Alyssa, who are all hoping for those perfect 10s. But it's also worth clarifying, right, that on that individual level, there are these sort of stateless gymnasts who will be competing here just on their own, whose college teams did not qualify for nationals. So who's in the mix for the individual events, and how does all of that work?
Well, in the all around, I think the first thing to remember is, just because Suni Lee less than a year ago was crowned the greatest gymnast on the planet at the Tokyo Olympics, does not mean she's a shoe-in for the all-around in college. The rules are different, and there are women who can beat her. Jade Carey, her Olympic teammate, is a strong, strong favorite. She was the gold medalist on floor in Tokyo. She's competing without her team because Oregon State didn't make NCAAs, but Jade has been consistent this season.
Half in, half out for the dismount. Holds the landing.
Jade Carey with a perfect 10, the 10th across the nation this year.
I would say she is certainly a favorite. And Nora Flatley of UCLA, who also is competing without the support of her own team. She will have the support of the team she rotates with. And, you know, of course, if you're going back to the Olympians, Jordan Childs of UCLA also rotating without her team. But she's competing on floor and bars and is certainly a favorite on both. Audrey Davis of Oklahoma on bars. And then, you know, vault is probably the most up in the air. You know, the collegiate style, you have to stick perfectly. And so whoever sticks on Thursday is going to take that title. But, you know, anyone from, you know, Trinity, Jade, Jordan Bowers of Oklahoma, Sierra Brooks of Michigan, all are favorites, all are incredible to watch. So it's going to be an exciting first day of competition at NCAAs.
I also want to understand just the team dynamic here as you begin to discuss who's competing individually and not, because I understand that Trinity Thomas is kind of just the tip of the iceberg for your Florida Gators, Alyssa. What is going on with your alma mater? Like, why is this such a special group? What did they do? What's their story?
Well, their scoring potential at every point in every lineup is phenomenal. They are perhaps the most stacked team we've ever seen in NCAA history. I mean, truly. If you look at them individually, like you said, Trinity, you have Leanne Wong, who was an alternate on our Olympic team. She is also last year's all-around world silver medalist. We have Sloane Blakely, who's a former elite, Alyssa Bauman, who was on the 2014 World Championship team that won gold, Riley McCusker, who a lot of people believed should have been on that last year's team. We have 8 gymnasts on the Florida Gator rosters who have national team experience. They are so good. It's really fun. I'll read interviews with some of the athletes and even with their coach saying there are times we'll just stop and look over and just watch each other because we can't believe the skills that we are seeing at practice, at an NCAA practice. I mean, they really, really are that good. That said, they were also the favorite last year and they ended up taking 4th at nationals. They made it to that final day and it was not their best day. And so if there has ever been a year for them to do it, it is now. They haven't won a title since they won 3 in a row last in 2015. But, you know, this is no cakewalk. I mean, I can't say it enough. There is so much parity. Anything could happen. I think this is going to be an incredibly close final, but, you know, this is the Gators' national title to lose. And, you know, I don't say that lightly if you look at the other incredible teams.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm legally allowed to bet on college gymnastics yet. I feel like that's the next step in all of the capitalism here. But you're scaring me a little bit, Alyssa, because you're mentioning that Florida is so great, but also this is a season with unusual parity. So team-wise, who else deserves our respect when it comes to figuring out, okay, what are the odds here that we're going to see Florida just run away with this?
Well, I think the first thing I'll say is I don't think they're going to run away with it. I think it's going to be a close competition. There are 8 teams in Fort Worth. So on the first day of competition, there will be 2 sessions of 4, and the top 2 teams in each session will qualify into the final on Saturday. And, you know, you have defending champions Michigan. They won their first national title last year. They should be there on Saturday. You know, you should also see Oklahoma. Last year, they took 2nd to Michigan by 0.088 points.
It wouldn't be gymnastics without a point zero something something.
100%. And I'm also, I've had a many, many years crush on the University of Utah. They are the most consistent team in NCAA history. They have qualified for every national championship since the sport joined the NCAA. And they're filled with stars, including McCallum. And they are ready to be a giant killer on Saturday. But I truly believe that if it is Friday and we are talking about Auburn, Alabama, Missouri, and we're not talking about any of the 4 teams I just mentioned, I will be surprised, but I won't be shocked. I mean, that is how good all 8 of these teams are.
But in terms of like how to actually watch this all unfold, Alyssa, like, because the competition format is different, obviously, than what we're used to seeing at the Olympics, even. So how would you advise us to consume this? How does this work?
So Thursday, today is the day. It's semifinals. So all eight teams will compete. And at the end of today's competition, four teams will move on to Saturday's final. And at the end of today, also all of the individual titles will also be handed out. So when a gymnast competes, that score will count both for the team score, for that overall score, and for her personal achievements. So it's a tricky mindset to balance. If you are an athlete who's competing in the all around, or if you're competing on bars, you know, team first, that's always the mindset.
But you're talking about the trade-off here in terms of like how much of a risk to take in terms of the points available to you, right? Like sometimes your team needs something that you personally don't necessarily want in the exact same way.
Yeah. And it's also just that mindset of looking around and knowing what your team needs. It's a really tricky thing for the coaches and the athletes to balance, but those scores will contribute to the team score, and they will also determine the individual champions as well.
As much as we've discussed how elite gymnasts are changing the college sport, Alyssa, I'm also wondering how the opposite might be working. Like, how does elite gymnastics, the World Championships, the Olympics, how are they possibly going to change as a result of what we're seeing both business-wise and on the mat itself at the college level?
Well, in the short term, an athlete like Trinity Thomas is no longer going to be an outlier. So a couple of weeks ago, Jade Carey took to social media to announce that she had accepted an invitation to national team camp, which takes place 2 weeks after nationals. And what that means is she plans to juggle college and elite gymnastics with her eye on the 2024 games in Paris. So now we have athletes coming back from the Olympics, competing in college while also training for the next Olympics. Suni Lee hasn't shut the door on making a run at 2024, nor has Jordan Chiles. And there's a chance we see Trinity Thomas open that door back up, unretire, and maybe make a return to elite gymnastics. So it's not like NCAA gymnastics is just stealing elites, or it's also not a retirement community for former Olympians. You know, this is now becoming a part of their gymnastics careers. And the other thing that's exciting to think about is all of the younger athletes who are looking to 2024 and 2028, but also now are planning a collegiate route. So I think both of these paths are going to start converging into one. And, you know, it remains to be seen the effect they have on each other. But, you know, when you think of an athlete like Jade or Suni, you know, one of the things that I think is very cool is I keep going back to that idea that Suni said about the collegiate experience reinvigorating her desire to get better, and that opportunity to compete every weekend in a healthy environment. You know, the elites would argue, well, we competed at national team camp, but they would also say, you know, especially in the Marta Caroli era, that was not a healthy environment to be in. And this is this incredibly supportive environment, a supportive type of gymnastics that now is making them better and better and better. And then I also just think the popularity of this sport, I mean, how can it not continue to grow with, you know, these very popular athletes coming into the sport? But also, I think the popularity of gymnastics took a real hit from the participation side of things in the past 6 to 7 years. And I think now you have young gymnasts who are starting to realize there are these two paths to greatness, right? I don't want to be naive here and, you know, the gymnastics Pollyanna and believe that, you know, in 1 year we've fixed gymnastics and all of the problems we've been investigating and writing for the past decade have just magically disappeared. But there's a lot that's encouraging. I do believe that, at least right now, gymnastics feels like a healthier sport, and that's something the sport has been chasing and needing for a really long time.
Alyssa Roenick, thank you for explaining why we should be paying attention to the experiment, but also in general, just the sport that you love.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can catch the NCAA Women's Gymnastics semifinals today on ESPN2, and then the finals at 1 p.m. Eastern Saturday on ABC. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.